Hello and welcome to Radioactive.
I'm Iman.
And I'm Kendra. We at Radioactive are happy to introduce our new project, Voices of Seattle.
The project is a compilation of one-minute stories from the lives of Seattleites, told from their perspective.
We also enlisted youth artists to create an accompanying animation.
The videos will come out on our Facebook page in the next few weeks.
We have Megan O'Kelly, the one and only, who is a reporter on this project, here to talk to us.
She went out onto the streets to interview the people featured in these stories.
Megan, you were a reporter for the Voices of Seattle project.
I was, yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about the experience of going out and interviewing people?
Yeah, I mean, I had some experience with that before through Radioactive, but doing the Voices of Seattle podcast was entirely different because I was in this situation where I was on my own. I was just walking around Seattle looking for people who looked friendly and like they might want to talk to me rather than just, you know, it's easy to be very like in your own world. And so you're kind of looking for people who are making eye contact with you. And when you see that person, you're like, okay, I can go up to this person. I can talk to them. I kind of have like a funny story because I had been searching around for like hours for a person and I had interviewed a couple of people and none of them had really worked out. They were all like awkward and they didn't want to talk to me. And when they did, they were just like, oh, I don't know. I don't really have any interesting stories. I'm just sort of like a normal person. And but the guy I interviewed, I was giving up for the day. I was like, I'm done. I can't find anybody. I'm just going to try again tomorrow. And I sat down to get like a bubble tea and I started drinking my bubble tea and this guy came in and I was kind of sitting in the like waiting area and he said, oh, can I sit down here? Is that okay? And I said, yeah, absolutely. And I started pulling my recording equipment out of the bag because, or like fussing with it, trying to put it, you know, like put it away and put it in a safe place, but like out so that out enough that I could like interview someone if I saw someone instantly. And he was like, oh, what's that? That looks really interesting. And I said, oh, you know, I'm a reporter with KUW Radioactive. I'm looking for people to interview for a project called Voices of Seattle. And he said, oh, well, why don't you interview me? And I was like, okay. He said, I've got some really good stories. And so I was like, okay, this guy is into this.
Well, thanks for talking to us, Megan. And here are some Voices of Seattle.
My name is Fasil, F-A-S-I-L.
And your last name?
Berhan, B-E-R-H-A-N.
And how old are you?
I'm 21.
And what are you doing in Seattle right now?
Honestly, just looking for a job right now. Me and my birth mom, we lived together for 10 years in Ethiopia before I moved here. And I didn't pay attention a lot because I didn't think I was going to move. I had no clue until like a year before. And I was like, whoa, what? This is actually, I'm going to go across the ocean. What is this? And then when I thought about it, I was like, damn, I didn't spend a lot of time with her. I was just a little selfish kid running around. But when I think about it, I was just a kid.
Do you ever go and visit her?
Planning to.
That's good. Yeah, yeah.
That's why I kind of left school.
Yeah.
Get a job.
Is she excited to see you?
I'm going to surprise her.
Really?
My friend says she'll have a heart attack. And he was serious. He kind of scared me, too. Because he's like, dude, no, don't do it, man. She's going to have a heart attack. I'm like, no, it has to be that way. I can't. But I don't know.
I just, like, don't even honestly want to be seen. I just want to be, like, super anonymous and just do what I'm trying to do without being noticed, to be completely honest. I grew up mostly with my mom. My parents got divorced when I was pretty young. My mom was a gardener, so, like, I used to go work in the garden with her and just, like, garden and whatnot. And I had straight A's when I was in high school, except for, like, I got a B in chemistry. Nah, not even chemistry. It was, like, Algebra 2 honors, actually, senior year.
Sick.
People think that like people who smoke weed don't get good grades, but like I do. I smoked weed for the first time in like 7th or 8th grade. I guess I started kind of early, but there are people who started like way earlier, you know, so I feel like maybe I didn't really f*** up that bad. Who knows? I don't know. I'm the happiest when I'm like, you know, throwing a huge ass boneless down some fat drop. But like most of the time I just
woo!
Damn, I was proper.
Well, for one, I've been cutting hair. I'm 34 now. I've been cutting hair since I was 12. And a lot of people take our job for granted, you know, and just think that we've got a pocket full of money, you know, because we get cash. You know, you can't go to the grocery store and say, hey, you know, I don't have any money. You know, can I get you next time? But for the most part, you know, we regulate it by, like, I mean, if you don't come back, you know, you don't come back. And, you know, professionally, when you see someone come in here and, you know, you can tell that they're kind of down and out, or maybe they don't have the best circumstances, and then when they get done with their haircut, they have a sparkle in their eye, like a smile on their face, that's like the best feeling, you know, just helping somebody feel good about themselves.
I did acting all throughout high school and a little bit in college, and then recently I've started up doing some film work. Not anything like in the professional setting, I guess. I mean, we didn't get paid for it, but it was something for our community. It was for Black Seattle 2035. Africa Town held a forum for the community, basically to talk about what Black Seattle looks like 20, 30 years from now. There's a lot of different visions that the community came up with, but I think we all can encompass it to just bringing back what the Black community was like before in the past, in the 80s and 90s, and how vibrant it was, and a lot of the African Americans in Seattle were generally in the Central District, and so we're trying to bring that community sense back to the Central District and sort of reclaiming the Central District as the African American community. Every person has a role, and I think that for everybody it's going to be a little different, but really just like getting involved in your community, seeing what the need is, seeing what issues that might come up and whatnot, but like making sure that you're actively participating in your community will help bring that vision to fruition.
Thank you to Ardo Hersey, Rachel Lam, Noel Gasca, and Megan O'Kelly for reporting these pieces.
Shout out to the Voices of Seattle animators, Catherine Yamashita's class at Earl Haig Secondary School, Keaton Hanna, and Sammy E.
But guys, Radioactive is racking up the awards this season.
Here is Jenny Asarno at Radioactive Reunion Party presenting the awards.
So we've had a really great year that you guys in Radioactive and at KUOW have created. And it's just been a really special year to see the quality of work that everyone here has produced. So we're going to share a couple of short excerpts from some of the pieces that won awards and honor the people who've won those awards. We're going to start with a piece that just won a National Edward R. Murrow Award. This is a piece that was produced by three reporters, Nina Tran, Catherine Sims, and Rachel Lam. This was a story that they worked on over the course of 6 months and really was extremely collaborative. It was, the story originally had a completely pretty different idea to focus on things that were going on in a different Catholic school, and eventually evolved to focus on some students who were organizing to create a gay straight alliance at Holy Names Academy.
I got this. 10 or 11 students are making decorations for a protest. They all go to Holy Names Academy, a Seattle Catholic girls' school. I went to Holy Names, too.
So that side is going to be cutting the ribbons. Okay. That side is going to be putting the Z's on them.
The students are all part of a club that they fought really hard to get, a Gay Straight Alliance, or GSA. GSAs are places where LGBTQ and straight students alike seek acceptance and support. A recent Canadian study found that GSAs reduce the risk of suicide for teens of all sexual orientations. But at a lot of Catholic schools, GSAs aren't allowed. Audrey Long helped form the club at Holy Names. 4 years ago, as a freshman, she came out to her family, and it wasn't a positive experience.
I actually was kind of stupid and told my family on Christmas Day. At first, they just told me I was just going through a phase, but it's gotten to the point where they've taken me to, like, Christian gay conversion therapist type things.
One of the things a GSA does is talk about coming out experiences, like Audrey's. She feels like she would have benefited from one.
It just creates a network of people who are experiencing similar problems. Like, you might have the best peers ever that are straight, but they are just not going to understand that in the same way.
During her sophomore year, Audrey teamed up with two other students, Katie Niven and Zena Rivera. They prepared a presentation for their vice principal of student life, Kim Dawson, to ask her if they could create a GSA. Katie Niven remembers Mrs. Dawson's response.
Basically, she said no, flat out no.
But according to Katie, Mrs. Dawson seemed to really want to help the students. She was crying. The students were crying. But there was a problem.
The biggest thing was that if Holy Names started a GSA and someone that was against it found out about it, they could report it and Holy Names potentially could be stripped of being a Catholic school, quote unquote, and that would not be good.
Radioactive approached Mrs. Dawson for this story, but she declined to comment.
This next story was produced in our summer workshop last year and just won an award at the Society for Professional Journalists for Best Special Report. This is the third year in a row that someone from Radioactive has won this award, so thank you for carrying on in this tradition of Radioactive winning that title.
I was a freshman at Roosevelt High School. It was homecoming and our football team had been crushed. As it started getting late, the energy sunk even lower. People were mostly slow dancing. It was all Taylor Swift at this point. Just then, a familiar tune started to play. The thinning crowd began to roar. A spotlight came on. As Michael Jackson's first lyrics shook the room, I saw a skinny kid with short brown hair and a sparkly glove begin to dance.
When I impersonated, I just kind of would think, what would Michael do?
The skinny kid was Lorenzo Manuel, now a senior. But he just goes by his first name, Lorenzo. His story started when he was 13 years old. A lot of things changed the night Michael Jackson died, but for Lorenzo, it was a near cosmic shift.
Well, the night he died, I had this dream where I was in a field and he was at an ice cream cone stand and he gave me this ice cream cone.
This mystifying dream had an unexpected effect. Lorenzo felt called to impersonate Michael Jackson.
So this next story just was awarded two awards at the Public Radio News Directors conference that just happened 2 days ago in Salt Lake City, Utah, by Angela Miller.
I'm at a dock on Lake Washington, and it's a calm evening. I'm with my dad, Quang Adam Nguyen. I call him Ba, which means dad in Vietnamese. He's handy, loving, and let's have the rest of my family help describe him.
I met him 27 years ago. He looked very young, a little bit skinny, handsome, and a little bit buff. But now, after 25 years married, I look a little bit chubbier.
He puts others before himself. He's a fixer.
He's very stubborn, makes me very stubborn, and speak of the devil.
Hi, where's my cell phone? Yeah, I'm looking for my cell phone.
That misplaces things. He's always thinking and forgetting. About too much, if you ask me. He's remodeled the house I've lived in my whole life, but he still hasn't finished the gazebo. Although, he did finish the waterfall. To Ba, the sound of water is the sound of freedom. He fled from home, Vietnam, at about age 14 on June 26, 1978. That night, he snuck into his friend's house, woke him up, and said, "Let's go."
Yay-dee. He asked me, "Dido, where are we going?" I say, "Well, we can escape. We have to look for freedom."
Last but not least, I want to honor Anne Kane, who won the Corva Coleman Award for Excellence this year.
Olá, meu nome é Estevão Ono e eu sou de São Paulo, Brasil. My name is Stephen Ono, and that question of where I'm from, that's very unique for me. Sometimes I say I'm from Seattle, sometimes I say California, but I was actually born in São Paulo, Brazil. So I moved to the United States 1983 when I was 11 years old. I'm a Japanese descent. So when I moved to California, you know, a lot of people would see me and they would just think of me as Asian American, or, you know, just somebody that is from the neighborhood. And being an English language learner, also didn't speak any English. I also started doing music at that time. For me, music was something that really developed my identity in middle school. So even though it was confusing, I didn't understand the system, starting music at that period was really helpful for me because it created that place where I belonged.
If you have a free second, check out our Radioactive website to listen to the full award-winning stories.
You can like our Facebook page at Radioactive Youth Media.
And you can find us online at kuow.org/radioactive.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, please.
This podcast is under the tyrannical co-rule of Jenia Sarnow and Leila Kataev.
All hail the great leaders.
Stay tuned for our next summer podcast. What?
I'm Comrade Kendra Hanna.
And Iman Muhammad is at your service. Farewell.